For a short time this evening, we'll be talking about one of the many parables that Jesus gave us in the Bible. We know many of the parables. We've heard many of them before. The sower, the wheat and tares, the mustard seed and the leaven. For this evening, we'll be talking about the hidden treasure. And we can find this parable in Matthew chapter 13. We'll begin shortly for our reading. We'll begin with verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. The Bible reads, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Each of these parables, as we mentioned, is found in Matthew chapter 13. But once again, this evening we'll be talking about this specific one, and that is the hidden treasure. Like the pair of parables, God's kingdom is very valuable. To briefly explain the parable, the first, a man finds a treasure hidden in a field. He first hides it, then proceeds to buy the field. Though he must sell everything he has in order to buy the field, he does gladly in anticipation of the treasure that will then be rightfully his. One thing that, even as a young kid when I first heard this parable, one thing I knew and actually took notice of, how many times have we ever found something lying on the ground, whether it was on our property or not, if we thought we wanted it or if it was of any value to us, how many people put it back where it was and then went and asked if they could get it? More times than not, when somebody sees something lying on the ground that they find valuable to them, they usually just stick it in their pocket and keep moving on. In this particular case, maybe something that people often overlook is the fact that when the man found the treasure, he didn't just put it in his pocket. He didn't try and collect it and take off with it. Just like that, he wouldn't be able to. He went and bought the field. He had to take certain steps in order to obtain the treasure. Well, this is a perfect example as us here on this earth as Christians. In order for us to be able to obtain a position or a spot in God's kingdom, in order for us to receive salvation, there are certain steps that we ought to take. We know that we are not able to come into heaven through anyone but our Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other way. We can't climb the walls or break in or anything of that nature. That's why this is a very good example and very good parable for our learning and understanding. The kingdom of heaven is worth infinitely more than the cost of discipleship or those who know where the treasure lies joyfully abandon everything else to secure it. The kingdom of heaven, the glad recognition of God's rule over heart and life, including salvation for the present and for the future, for soul and ultimately also for the body, the great privilege of being thereby made a blessing to others to the glory of God. All this is a treasure so inestimably precious that one who obtains it is willing to surrender everything for it, or whatever could interfere with having it, they freely give up. What distinguishes this parable from the one following is that it describes the value of the kingdom to one who accidentally finds it. Though not purposely looking for it, its value is still immediately recognized. So the kingdom of heaven has been and will be for many people. One man said that we should grasp its one important lesson, that the incalculable preciousness of salvation for those who discover it and obtain possession of it without even looking for it. An example of this would be the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 2, it explains how he discovered the treasure unexpectedly. He was on the road to Damascus, and he was on his way to go and to persecute Christians. The Bible reads, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Now at the time, he thought what he was doing was the right thing to do. Just as was mentioned in our lesson this morning, he had no idea what he was doing was wrong in any way. But once he met the Lord, he learned the will of God, and he did not hesitate to carry it out, even at great cost to him. In Acts chapter 26, verse 19, we'll begin with verse 19. The Bible reads, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That the Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." So even at great cost, even a possibility of losing his life, once he knew what was right, he did not stray away from it at the time and did exactly what he was told once he knew the truth. Paul considered Christ and his kingdom a treasure, worth giving up all one had if necessary to obtain. So what is there about the kingdom of Christ that makes it so valuable? Well, the kingdom is of exceeding value. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible reads, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." The kingdom is a refuge from the power of darkness. Outside the kingdom of heaven, we are in the kingdom of Satan and the world. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 through 3, says, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So once again, the kingdom is of exceeding value and is a refuge from the power of darkness. The kingdom of Christ offers deliverance and refuge. We are set free from the guilt and dominion of sin so that we can serve God. God will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability to bear. Also, the kingdom is a domain of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. In Philippians chapter 3, it speaks of a righteousness through faith in Christ, in which our sins have been forgiven. Chapter 4, it speaks of peace from God, which surpasses all understanding. It also talks about an abiding joy in the Lord, no matter what may be the circumstances. And the kingdom is an unshakable kingdom. One which shall never be destroyed, and therefore a truly everlasting kingdom. The kingdom is destined for eternal glory, as we are told in the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 13, it speaks that it was presented by Christ to God at His second coming. Those who are truly sons of the kingdom will shine forth as a son in the kingdom of their Father. It also says that from the time forward, those in the kingdom will experience the ultimate fellowship in the presence of God. So we may ask ourselves, what is God's kingdom worth to us? When we think of God's kingdom, when we think of the final resting place for our souls, how much value do we put into it? In light of both the present and future blessings found in the kingdom of heaven, perhaps we can appreciate why many consider the kingdom to be of an exceeding value. Even when not actively looking for it, but maybe even stumbling across it, the value is recognized immediately by some, and they are willing to pay whatever price necessary. We know that Jesus physically, literally, gave His life for us. And if that is the price the Master is willing to give for His servants, what price should the servants give to their Master? We are also to give our lives for Him. Maybe not so much literally or physically, but spiritually and in everything we say and do. Maybe not to give our lives in death necessarily, or to be sacrificed physically, but as I said before, in everything we say and everything we do here on this earth, to be a living sacrifice for His will. To us, what is the value of the kingdom? Well, if it were possible, maybe we could ask. We could ask Stephen, the first Christian martyr, found in Acts chapter 7. Maybe the early Christians who experienced persecution unlike anyone before. Maybe the Apostle Paul, who suffered so much for the kingdom. Maybe even our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave the ultimate sacrifice and endured what no man on this earth could have. With one voice, they would probably all say the same thing, that it is well worth it. So in closing, even though this has been just a short little lesson or a short little discussion, how about us? What's its value to us at this time? Are we willing to pay the full price to obtain the treasure, which is our Lord's kingdom? The price of repentance. The price of complete submission to the will of Christ. The price of putting the kingdom first in our lives. We heard this morning about how His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. What He finds valuable isn't always what we find valuable. Are we willing to put aside what we may think is right and of value and focus on His will? We can quit relying on our logic and what we think may be right, wrong, or of value if we try to find out what He wants for us. At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call, or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be, we would ask that you would come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.